And one of these days, that's going to happen. Amen. And I was thinking, Lord, it'd be something. Sung that song about when we crown him. See him. Be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can't wait till that day. Blessed is his name. All right, Proverbs chapter 24 this evening. We didn't finish up this chapter last week. We could have pushed through these last verses. I just really felt like we didn't need to. One simple little thought tonight, but I really believe as we look at this thought tonight, it's so... And God's always on time. It amazes me how God connects all the dots and puts things right in time and when we need things. And I really believe that this is so on time, more than you even begin to know how on time this is. And I was telling the men this afternoon in the deacons meeting of my concern. I'm very concerned about our church spiritually. I'm very concerned about our families and individuals spiritually. Well, preacher, we're here. And you can be here and still not be here. And I'm afraid that's a lot of I'm saying all of us. We need to realize that we are in a battle. I'm afraid we've come to a place of ease. We got so complacent and so, bills are being paid and we're having services and we're supporting missionaries and, doing everything right. But again, just because you do everything right doesn't mean that it's right. I hope tonight, I hope you do take this a little personal because it is personal. I hope it'll stir you a little bit. And again, it's nothing new. It's just something that, again, if we're not careful, this will happen to you. And let me read the verses tonight. Let's stand together as we read a few verses tonight. We'll pray and be seated. Proverbs chapter 24 this evening. We'll begin reading verse number 30. The writer here of Proverbs chapter 25 says this, as I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. And just right off the cuff, we've seen over and over through this book of Proverbs what God says about laziness. But I hope tonight we see that in a different aspect than just being lazy. So let's pray. Father, we sure love you. We sure thank you, Lord, for the good songs. And God, I stirred my soul just thinking about one of these days I'm going to be gone. Lord, the world won't miss me. I know that. But God, I'm looking forward to the day. God, it will just be out of here. Lord, I pray, Lord, that God, until then, that we will abide. God, it will not stop. We'll just continue to press on for the glory of Christ. Lord, I thank you for all you've done for me. And God, I sure want to be faithful. Lord, you've been so good to me. And God, just help us tonight as we look at this little thought for just a moment. God, help us tonight, God, to examine. God, I pray, Lord, you'll stir our souls. And we'll thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you do here this evening. For it's in your precious and holy name I do pray. Amen. As we look at these verses tonight, and again, it's don't be lazy. And there's a lot of laziness in our day. I used to have a bad habit when I was a little boy, a young boy, teenage boy even. I think I've said this before. We didn't have a lot of stuff as far as around my house. As far as kids and stuff, you know, there was just me and my brother. There wasn't a lot of kids around our neck of the woods, because most of it's farmland anyway. And I had a bad habit of telling mom or daddy or grandma and grandpa I was bored. And that's not a good thing when you live on where I lived, because they would quickly find me something to do, and which is a good thing. And again, I am very thankful. I really am. I didn't have a hard life. We were reminiscent of old times, I guess, and people talking about how it was when they grew up a little bit earlier. And, you know, I didn't have it bad. I didn't walk through snow uphill both ways to school and, you know, all that. I didn't have that. But we did live out in the country, and we did work. I mean, I enjoyed it. I really did. It really bothered me when my grandpa got a round baler, because I loved to pick up hay. I did. I loved it. I loved we cut hay, square baled it, put tractor out in the field, stack the hay, put it in the barn. I loved it. And then we got a round baler, and all that went away. Didn't need nobody. But I'm thankful that God did help me, and I didn't realize He was helping me at the time. But I'm thankful for a good work ethic. That was one of the things that when we were raising our children, and I don't know that we succeeded by no means, but when they got their first jobs, I guess, you know, Ethan worked at Food Line, I think was his first job, maybe. And did Carrie work anywhere before? I don't think she ever did she? Until she became a nurse, and she still works a little bit now. She worked around the house. Mama kept her busy. But, you know, as a daddy, I couldn't go with Ethan to the workplace, but I sure tried my best to help him, to encourage him that when he went to work, to do a good day's work, to have a good work ethic about him, because it's important. And here tonight, as we read this portion of Scripture, there is a physical aspect of this, but greater than a physical aspect, there is such a spiritual teaching here tonight that we need desperately to get a hold of. Now, on the physical aspect of it, he's telling us, as the Solomon, if he wrote this, that he went and he looked and he saw something that bothered him. And I've been with my grandfather over the years, and we'd ride around. My grandpa always seemed like he opened up to me, and we talked a lot. And we'd drive by somebody's farm, and he'd say, "You know, old so and so, he started that farm." And this really bothered my grandpa. It bothers me, and I know it's going to happen probably again in our family one day, but it bothers me. It just happens. I know that. He'd say, "You know, here's a big old farm over here." He'd say, "Man, in its day, it was a great big dairy farm." Said, "Oh, so and so, he labored and worked hard and just cleared the land and put all that grass in, kept the cows, corn, all that." And he said he just done a wonderful job. And then when he died, all that got busted up and sold off and all that. And that, you know, that bothered him and it bothered me. And it bothers me today as I think about all the work that my grandfather, I can still see pictures in my mind as I think about how my grandfather worked and labored to take what land that we do have, and how he took, and he didn't take a bulldozer. They hand cut all the trees. They took a horse and mule and stumped it out. And I mean, they labored intensely to take that ground and take it from its state of overgrownness and looked like, you know, he couldn't do it to farm it. But he took all that and labored day in and day out and day in and day out to get it to the place. And I still remember, you know, when I was growing up, we had dairy cows, and then we went into the beef cows. When we had dairy cows, we had corn and bean and different, and tobacco. We raised tobacco also. But over time, when we quit working the corn and the beans and the tobacco, every bit of our land now is pretty much pasture. And he worked very hard. It takes a lot of laboring and time to get everything put into a pasture with good grass and keep everything. And it just took a lot of land. He said, I would hope that nobody would come in here and tear all this grass back up, because he knew all the laboring he put into that. And here, as the Solomon looks, as he goes by, he sees this field. He sees a vineyard. He even sees a rock wall that is broke down. And as he looks at it, as he sees it, he notices how, again, that the wall has been torn down. That field that once produced whatever it produced now is filled with nothing but weeds and vines and thistles. He looks at that vineyard that somebody, and listen, I don't know a lot about vineyards, but I do know what I've been told and what I've read, that it takes a lot of work and a lot of time to establish a vineyard. It just don't happen. And here, as he looks at this property, as he looks at this land here, he sees and he looks at it, and I'm sure in his own mind, it broke his heart to see how that, I mean, he can remember how that field used to flourish. How the corn used to grow 10 feet high and the beans up to your chest. And he could remember those days when that field was just so beautiful. I love to watch farming. I don't get to do much of that, but I love to watch it. I do. They were cutting beans behind the house this past week. It amazes me. I love it when they're breaking. They don't do a lot of it now anymore. When they plow the dirt, I used to love just the smell of a fresh cut field. I did. But here's Solomon looks, and I can envision in my mind as he looked, and I've seen this happen. I can in my mind right now think of places that at one time used to be some of the most beautiful farmland, even in my lifetime. And today it's just all grown up. And here's Solomon as he looks at this field, and he looks at this vineyard, and he watches, and he looks at that. The Bible tells us that he stopped and he considered it. He looked upon it. And it bothered him. Why did it bother him? I think in my mind, as I read this, I can't speak for him by no means, but have you ever looked at something and thought, how did it get to that place? In our physical lives, it amazes me. You know, I hope you're not this way. I hope, I feel like that we have good people here. I don't go home with you by no means. But, you know, it amazes me how people don't take care of stuff nowadays. You know, I think about our little town of Harmony and the little areas you drive into Harmony from 21 North into Harmony. That used to be some beautiful homes, and now they've just pretty much been let go. People today don't seem like they care about stuff like people used to. And when you don't take care of stuff, it doesn't take long that it goes down. And here, as we try to get this picture in our mind, and as we think about what Solomon saw there, it is a physical lesson there. I mean, in the physical sense, you know, somebody, whoever owned this field and whoever owned this vineyard, they worked very hard at one period of time. How do you know, preacher? Well, it had a rock wall around it. Rock walls just don't come out of a box. Whoever owned this vineyard, whoever owned this land, had labored and labored and built a fortress around his property to keep the evilness out, to keep the wild things outside of the field, to protect what was on the inside. And now as Solomon stood there, the protection had been broken down. The elements from outside were able to come and go at leisure to just go in and do whatever it wanted to do. Again, those fields of corn, and I loved it when we went out west, and I can still envision, we went, I think we were South Dakota, Brother David, but remember when my wife about got sick on us because of all the bean dust? I don't remember what valley that was, but I have never in my life seen so many combines in one field. I mean, just as far as you could see, it was a bean field. And they had, I don't know how many combines, and I'm not talking little combines, I'm talking big combines. And they were cutting beans, and I know some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Beans are very dusty. I mean, they're just dirty. I mean, it's just a dust. I can still remember we were poor farmers. My uncle, we had a Massey Ferguson combine without a cab. Corn was great. I still remember sitting on the behind my uncle's seat as he would cut the corn, shell the corn. I just loved to watch those corn run into the thing in the back there where it kept it. But I could never ride one of his beans because it's just too nasty. My uncle wore glasses. He would tie a bandana around his face. He'd start cutting beans, and by the time we were about halfway done, you couldn't tell what his face was. He just had that much dust on him. It was laboring. But I'm saying this, that, you know, to have a field of corn or to have a field of beans, you got to plant something. It just don't happen on its own. You've got to put in the time of preparation. You've got to put in the fertilization of getting everything where it needs to be. You've got to put in the time of sowing. You've got to put in that time of cultivating and top dressing and then watching it and praying a lot and hoping one day that it grows. And then one day there's going to be harvest time, and then you're going to be out there for a day and night just trying to get your crops in before cold weather comes or the rains come in. So Solomon looked, and he could probably in his mind remember when those fields, when they were worked and how they took forth and produced, and even in that vineyard. Now there are wild grapes. We read that a few weeks ago there. But on a vineyard, somebody had to go through there and plant every grapevine. Somebody had to go in there and trim and take care of those vines. Somebody had to go in there and pick the grapes off of those vines. But then something happened. And then something took place, and we'll get to that part in a moment. Now, instead of corn, instead of grapes, I like it when somebody asks me what, ain't that great? Y'all didn't think I heard that. I did hear that. But all those things that used to be there, the days of people actually, man, I used to remember. Anybody, I know we're in a Baptist church, but I grew up on a tobacco farm. Anybody ever mess with tobacco? There's nothing any more worse than pulling plants. In a plant, nowadays everybody's got modern, you know, they got greenhouses that they grow their plants in. We didn't do that. We had a patch of ground that you sowed. Anybody ever seen a tobacco seed? Itty bitty, itty bitty, itty bitty. Just about. We would sow our plants and when it was time, you know, they grew, and it was time to plant tobacco, you had to go out there and pull plants up. And we put them in crates to take them to the field. And then they had these things called tobacco setters. Usually my aunt and cousins or whatever would ride that, and they would sit there as that thing plowed through and that little wheel come on, and it'd just take time putting the plant in there. But then we had to walk the rows, and everywhere they missed or one didn't get stood up, we had to go through there and take a little raw a stick and stick that plant back in there and get it poked back down in there and get it to stand up. Took a lot of work. That thing don't just happen. I remember when I was in FFA years ago, we used to do this thing, and you know, I grew up out in the country anyway, but we'd go to elementary schools, and I don't remember what they called the days, but we'd go in and talk to these, you know, I don't remember what grade it was. We'll say third graders. I don't remember what grade it was. And we'd tell them about things maybe they didn't know about on the farm. And you know, especially in our day, you ask a youngin' where milk comes from? The store. They have no idea what it takes to get that gallon of milk. That hamburger? Where you get a hamburger? McDonald's. Anybody here like Jell-O? Don't ask me what it's made out of. You don't want to know, because you probably won't eat Jell-O no more. Do you want to know?
No.
Okay. But this property, somebody owned it. Somebody labored it. But now, the walls tore down. Now, the fields are grown up. The vineyards collapsed. As much as I know that it takes a lot of work to keep a field. Anybody here like gardening? You know what the key to gardening is? A hoe. It's easy to get out there with a tiller and till everything up. It's easy going there and plant the seed. But it takes a lot of work to keep those nasty little things you didn't plant out of your garden. And there's nothing worse than morning glories and green bean vine. You know what you have to do to get a field full of thistles and briars? Nothing. They'll grow when nothing else will. They'll multiply when you can't get nothing else to multiply. So here's again, and I got to get moving. Here's this field that again once was productive, and now it's totally unproductive. Again, on the physical side of things, you ought to take care of things. We ought to take care of this place. If we don't take care of this place and just let it down or let it go, it'll fall apart.
That's right.
It amazed me the first time we moved out of our house to Taylorsville. We shut everything up and went to Taylorsville. Pastor my first church. I'll never forget the first time we came home and I was so amazed. I left the air on. It never got above whatever temperature we set it at. In the wintertime, I turned the heat on so it didn't get below a certain temperature. But it amazed me within a year's time how the walls in my basement had just about fell apart. Because there wasn't nobody living there. There was nobody taking care of it. And it just fell apart. You ever seen an old home place? I mean, beautiful old home place. That used to be vibrant. And then everybody walked away from it. And it grew up. Isn't that sad?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And now I want to say on the physical side of things, we ought to have some work ethic about us. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you work hard, but you ought to take care of your stuff.
Yeah.
We ought to teach our children to take care of their stuff. Yes, we live in a throwaway world. You know what?
Yes, sir.
People just buy and throw away, buy and throw away, buy and throw away. Look at the garbage that we stow away. Just think about the garbage. I mean, we're just a throwaway type of generation. Look at the food that we waste. We waste enough food in our country to take care of most countries. We're just wasteful. That's one of the reasons when we have an outing or something, I always make my little spiel, eat what you get. I don't like to see stuff thrown away. I don't. But again, that's the physical lesson here tonight. But the greater of this is the spiritual lesson that I want us to see this evening. Just as much as the physical is true, I believe that tonight we can see a great picture of our physical being. It takes work. Now I know this evening that salvation is of the Lord. God does the saving. But there's a field inside of us that we need to tend to. There's things in our lives that we need to constantly keep the weeds out. And I'm afraid that there's so much, and not just here, I believe it's an epidemic of our country, that we're not keeping our garden clean. We're allowing things to come into our field and it's overgrowing the crop that ought to be produced in us. We ought to be producing. We ought to be a vineyard. We ought to be a field. But one of the first things tonight I think that we need to understand of this situation is that wall. That wall of protection. That wall that's there not to keep something in, but to keep stuff out. And I'm afraid that we've allowed our wall spiritually, to crumble. We've not maintained the wall there that God has put in our lives to keep things away from us. We've allowed that wall to get broke down and we've allowed the world to come into our vineyard and into our field. And I've seen so many times and so many people and so many things and so many churches even. They've allowed that outwardness to come in, and their field that used to be productive, that used to produce, that used to be honoring, glorifying God, now is nothing but a bunch of thistles and thorns, and it's overgrown and no longer producing. Each one of us tonight. Now, mom and daddy, you got youngins, you ought to do all you can. First of all, to protect them, to teach them, and let them realize that they too must take care of their garden. Because one day you're not going to be there. But friend, tonight we've got to get to the place where we understand that there's a danger here. And he looked at this and he saw it and it made him think. How did this happen? Have you ever thought of that? I've seen so many men in our days, and again, I still am to some point. I hear preachers that quit, or preachers that change, and I ain't gonna name names, but I was telling the men the other day when we were out visiting a few Saturdays ago, I can name at least five, probably six young people that used to have ties to us that are left the faith as far as this King James Bible. I'm not saying they're not saved. They've stepped away from the old path. It breaks my heart. How did that happen? Well, the wall got broke down somewhere. Something came in and started to grow there that wasn't growing before. And I'm saying tonight, as Solomon looked and as he pondered this, and many times I look and I ponder things, I think, how does that happen? How did that preacher get to that place, or how did that family get to where they're at? And I think it's right here it is. The wall got torn down. Instead of being productive, instead of working the fields and keeping the crops going and keeping the vineyard trimmed and everything like it's supposed to be, they let it go. It amazes me too. I know Brother David's been over there. I think Brother Tony's been over there too. The place I deer hunt. Man, me and my wife and youngins, we used to walk in woods. Probably just some of the prettiest hardwoods I'd ever been around. Beautiful stream running down through there. Had a good little waterfall that trickled down there. We'd go down there and sit and let the kids play. It's just beautiful. Well, then one day they brought the equipment in and cut it all down. And today, they could be a giraffe walking out there. You'd never see him. It's just growed up. Nobody did anything. Just left it alone. And it grew up. And tonight, if you do that to yourself, if you do that to your home, if you do that to your spouse or your family, it too will be overtaken before you know it. There's a danger. There's no time. I have never in my life, and I'm 50 years old, I've been around the farm as long as I can remember, I've never seen a field tend to itself. Somebody had to tend to it. And I promise you tonight, you individually, me individually, somebody has to tend to our field. It will not take care of itself. You've got to constantly, every day, and my wife, bless her heart, we got big old flower beds in our front house that needs mulch, she keeps telling me, and she's right. She's worked all spring and summer doing the best she can to keep the weeds out of that flower bed. They just constantly coming up. Me and, it ain't Roundup, but whatever that stuff, Buccaneer, whatever spray that is I use. It'll kill it off for a little while, but guess what? It won't be long. It'll come on back. Even now, I was looking the other day. We ain't had rain until a few days ago. Even now, there's a bunch of little green weeds out there. I was thinking, how do you grow? There's nothing here. The ground's cracked open. I mean, we're dry. But there they are. But even in our spiritual lives, if we don't take care of those weeds, if we allow those weeds to begin to grow, and it takes a whole lot more work to get them out if you don't do something about when they first start. You ever tried to clear something when the briars and the thorns and... How many of you remember 15 years ago, almost 14 years ago, when we decided to clear this mess out back here. I can still remember, I think we had two lawnmowers that day. And I mean, that broom sage was about this deep. They was briars and rocks and all kinds of stuff. Took a lot of work to get it to look like it does now. So in the spiritual sense this evening, we've got to realize that there is a danger. God has given us as a place for producing, as we saw earlier, and we ought to desire to have that hedge about us, that wall, and we ought to keep that wall intact, and we ought to examine that wall to make sure that there's no place that something could get in and destroy our field and our vineyard. We got to watch as those little weeds in our lives start to come up, and you think, well, that's not too bad. We got two fields. My grandpa would roll over in his grave. We got two hay fields. It'll grow Johnson grass. It makes good hay, I guess. But my grandpa, buddy, he would work and work to keep Johnson grass out of his fields. And now they've been let go, and it'll grow good Johnson grass. Our pastors, as I told you earlier, I'd make that mistake of saying I was bored. Many a summer I've spent walking across our pastures with a mattock. Anybody know what a mattock is? I don't know what these things are called. I think they're the devil, but briar bushes, thistle bushes. I'd spend my day digging up thistle bushes. Because they take them all. What's them little things, Brother David, we sprayed for out here? Got the little green, got the little yellow blooms and all. Gets the little white dandelion things. You know when them little kids grab them things and go. You know what just happened?
You just got more.
There's a house that we go by. They spend a lot of money on their yard. I'm all for having a yard. I like yard better than mud, but it's a yard. But these people, they killed out their yard and got it all pretty looking. And I told her, I said, it's good for them, but their neighbors didn't do that. So you know what's going to happen?
Right.
Every time they mow, it's going to blow all them weeds right back over there.
Right.
Guess what? That's what it did.
Yeah.
But physically, I see a truth. But greater than that, I see a greater truth. Spiritually tonight. You got any briars in your field? Is your wall strong tonight? You got any thistles and weeds? Look at the verses again. I'm just about done. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then he says, I saw and I considered it. I looked upon it. But here's the key. He received instruction. Tonight we, and I've said it before, I used to, as a young preacher, I would hear of men that fail and I would think, Lord, how did that happen? Lord, he was a good preacher. Lord, I knew he loved you. Brother Maynard helped me the most on that thought. Because I'd call him and say, preacher, what happened? How do I keep that away from me? And he says, always remember, if it happened to them, it could happen to you. I will look for instruction. I looked and saw a field that once was vibrant and a field that was producing and now a field that's grown up and the wall had been broken down. And I considered, how did it happen? Well, God gives the answer. Here it is. He says, I considered it, I looked upon it, and received instruction, yet, verse 33, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. How did that vineyard get to that place? How did that field get to that place? How did that wall get to this place that it was in this condition? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. The key to those three things is one word. It wasn't a big problem. We all need sleep, don't we? I would like to get some sleep. But we all need sleep. But sometimes we sleep too much. We have a lazy generation. I have never in my life been one to lay in the bed. My wife knows it. If I wake up, I'm up and gone. I'll go sit in my chair, read whatever it might take. I remember as a boy, I'd always want to make sure I didn't get left. So I'd wake up and I'd go over there before my grandma and grandpa would even get out of bed and be sitting on their porch waiting for the light to come on so I could go in. But it wasn't sleep and it wasn't the slumber and it wasn't the folding of the hands. It's just the little things though. See, it doesn't take the big things to cause. Now, this is a big problem. But that big problem didn't start out with a big thing. Every time we deal with problems, if you'll bring it back to his original or to his origin, you'll find it's a little thing. Tonight, you got to be careful with those little things. Those little things that we think, well, we can handle that, or those little things we think of really is not that big of a deal. Those little things turn into big things, and before you know it, your wall will be broke down and your fields will be covered up and your vines will be knocked down. Let me give you this and I'll be done. How did it happen? Well, first of all, this didn't happen. That woods that I told you about that used to be so beautiful that they cut down, the first 2 to 3 years, it wasn't too bad. But now it's been, I don't know how many years, and it's terrible. There's briars in there that you don't want to get caught in them. You just be there. What are you saying, preacher? This just didn't happen overnight. And these men that I've mentioned, these preachers or whatever the situations might be, it just didn't happen overnight. These fields began to allow some things to come in that they didn't take care of. The wall began to crumble in areas that they didn't take care of. And over time, it grew up. And over time, it broke down. So it just didn't happen. But how did it happen? First of all, I believe it's idleness. Do something. That idleness is so deadly. People today are so idle in their spiritual lives. And then second of all, not only idleness, but neglect. The field was neglected. The wall was neglected. But spiritually this evening, is your prayer life neglected? If you have a prayer life that's neglected, you're in danger of having thorns and thistles and broken down walls. How about your Bible reading? Is your Bible reading neglected? Why read 5 chapters a day, but do you get anything out of it? What's that relationship in your prayer life? What's that relationship in your Bible reading? What about your faithfulness? Are you faithful? Well, I'm here tonight, preacher. Well, I'm glad. But are you faithful to the things of God? Do you neglect those things? Do you think more of taking care of your physical body than you do your spiritual body? Neglect, idleness, is what causes a field or a vineyard and a wall to be overtaken. Tonight, every one of us, if you're saved tonight, God has given you a field and a vineyard and a wall in your own self. When's the last time you done some weeding? When's the last time you've been doing, you got some spray out and killed some things? When's the last time you walked around the wall to make sure all that, what wall? God tells us every day to put on the whole armor of God. You been putting your armor on? Well, preacher, you know that stuff's heavy, and preacher, that stuff's cumbersome, and it just takes too much time. You'll wish you would have one day. I was telling the men in the deacons meeting, my daddy got a big surprise last week. Was it last week? Their floor in their living room been acting a little weird over the last several years, and it's just got worse and worse and worse and worse. Well, it really got worse. So he called a guy to come look at it. Guy gets under there and he says, "You got problems. Termites. Not just one either. I don't know if they're 2x8s or 2x10s, it's the floor joists. And I kid you not. You can take your hand, grab one of those, and do like this, and it'll break right off in your hand. It's been there. They've been under the house. Daddy didn't know that was there. No signs. But now there's a sign. A lot of damage. It's going to cost a lot. What about us? Been putting some things off? There might be some things growing in there that you know it's there, but yeah, you know, if we keep it at bay, you don't keep it at bay. It's growing and it's producing and it's consuming. And one of these days, it's going to take a lot to get that mess cleaned up. You know what the best way to do it? Take care of it now. Solomon looked and said, "How did that ever happen?" I hope nobody ever looks at you and says, "How did that ever happen?" But you better keep your fields clean. You better keep your wall strong, or you're in danger. Let's stand together this evening.